Please be seated. From today's gospel lesson, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Have you ever really thought about that, what that means? Peace, that is, the peace of the Lord. Of course you have on some level, but what does that peace really mean to you? There was a survey once done by the Norwegian Academy of Sciences that states that since 3600 BC, the world has known only 292 years of peace. Think about that. During this time, there have been 14,351 wars, large and small, in which 3.64 billion people have been killed. According to the study, since 650 BC, there have been 1,656 arms races, only 16 of which did not end in war, and the remainder ended in virtual economic collapse of the countries involved. Peace. What does peace mean to you? There was a study by Duke University that looked at peace of mind and the factors found to contribute greatly to emotional and mental stability were, first, the absence of suspicion and resentment, because nursing a grudge was a major factor in unhappiness. Secondly, not living in the past, an unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures invariably leads to depression. Third was not wasting time and energy fighting conditions that you cannot change. Cooperate with life instead of trying to run away from it. Next was to force yourself to stay involved with the living world. In other words, resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during times and periods of emotional stress. Next was to refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Because the truth is, we must accept the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow and some misfortune. Number six was to cultivate the old-fashioned values and virtues of love, humor, compassion, and loyalty. The next one was, don't expect too much of yourself. When there is too wide a gap between self-expectation and your ability to meet the goals you've set for yourselves, you're going to feel inadequate. And finally, find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people score lowest in any test for measuring happiness. Now, that's all really interesting and stuff, but I couldn't help but think about when reading this study that I'm sure that it cost millions of dollars and endless man hours to produce this study when all they really needed to do was to read the book of Proverbs. But anyway, peace. What does that mean to you? In my middle school religion classes, I usually try to take time with the kids to discuss current events, especially when something tragic happens. And in one of my classes, I asked if the kids wanted to talk about the Boston Marathon bombing. Dead silence, which is usually not the case in a middle school class. And I came to realize that such news really doesn't even faze these kids anymore. They've all grown up in the post-9/11 world. Terrorist bombs and school shootings, unfortunately, have always been a part of their news. Peace. I don't think she's in her. I hope she's not, but many of you know that Beverly McDaniel's sister-in-law died a week ago after having battled pancreatic cancer, and it is really strange to see Beverly sad. And when she returned to the office on Monday, she, of course, was talking about the marvelous funeral in Bruton and all the people who came that she knew but hadn't seen in such a long time. But she also said something in that conversation that really struck me. She said that when she'd call her sister-in-law to see how she was doing and to check on her, that so often her response was, I've had the miracle of an ordinary day. Think about that. The miracle of an ordinary day. Peace. Being someone of my generation, it's easy to look back with longing to simpler times. The time when nobody locked doors and kids played in the neighborhood free from any fear. But that really is just a nostalgic rewriting of reality, because the truth is, maybe times were simpler when I was growing up, but it was also a time where presidents and politicians and civic leaders were assassinated and an unpopular war tore families and friends apart. Peace. Maybe the whole concept is and always has been so elusive because we really don't know what that means. Maybe it begins inside of us. Maybe it begins among us. Or maybe it's some kind of rare synergy of the two. But in its essence, I believe that peace is personal. And I believe that it's unique. And I believe it's even intimate. And maybe it's so elusive because I think as our gospel lesson points out, we've always let the world define it for us. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Those are the words of Jesus at the Last Supper, the night before he dies. And they're strange words if you think about it. Jesus has already told his disciples that he's going to be killed. He's already told them that they can't go where he's going. He's already told them that times are going to be really, really hard for them. And then he says, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Really? I think this is what makes Jesus' promise of peace difficult to take, even today, because most of us think of peace as the absence of something negative. But maybe we've got it all wrong. Maybe peace isn't the absence of something negative, but instead its own presence, something all on its own. Maybe peace is what creates something positive, makes something possible, not just curtailing something negative. And from that perspective, maybe peace is not so elusive after all. You know, so many of us look for peace in this world. We look for safe places where nothing can disturb us. We look for the stilling of our hearts and our minds. We look for assurance, for hope, for joy. We even pray for peace. A peace not only for us inside our hearts and inside our families, but we pray for peace in the world, for an end to things that peoples and nations do to each other. And all those things are good things to seek. But there is more to it than that. Jesus says, my peace I give you. Literally, shalom, which is much more than the absence of things that disturb us. It's a peace about wholeness, about being one with God and our neighbors and ourselves. It's a peace that calls us to look at the depths of our existence beneath the surface of what can merely be seen, and there find bigger truths that make it possible for us to always give thanks. It empowers us with the courage to not just preach the gospel, but to actually live it. And I believe it is in that place where our faith becomes more real. And not merely a recitation of words and phrases that we want to believe but don't always feel. It's a faith that doesn't take away the difficult things in life as much as it just makes them bearable. It's that place where our own brokenness may describe us, but never, ever define us. Because we are more than what's missing. It's not a faith that's to be used as some plug for the hole that each of us carries around inside of us, but rather as a summons to be more, to live more, to love more, to share more. Because there is always so much more that God desires for us. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. I give you my peace. May that be your confident expectation and your confident hope. And may that peace which passes all understanding be with you and remain upon you this day and forevermore. God love you. Shalom.